The biggest landfill in the U.S. will soon be closed to more garbage. Freshkill's landfill on Staten Island will close next year, and New York City will be shipping tons of garbage to other states through a network of stations, barges, trucks, and trains. My guest Benjamin Miller is glad this isn't his headache. He's the former director of policy planning for the New York City Department of Sanitation. Miller has studied many of the garbage headaches of the past. He's written a new book called Fat of the Land, A History of New York Garbage Over the Past 200 Years. I asked him to describe some of the most smelly and offensive ways New York dealt with garbage in the past.
Well, I suppose those colorful operations that took place on islands around the city, men, women, and children would pick through the stuff to pull out anything that might be saleable, bits of buttons and glass and so on, and the rest was taken inside and cooked up into huge vats with naphtha or kerosene or water and turned into grease and nitroglycerin and fertilizer. And these processes were very odorous indeed.
What islands are you referring to?
Well, this all began on an island called South Brother, right between Brooklyn and Queens in 1849. The city inspector at the time, whose idea it was to take the garbage out of the city for the first time, he was trying to deal with an epidemic of cholera and form this company, which he was a secret silent partner. Obviously, it would have been illegal for him to be involved. And in fact, he invented what I consider the modern waste management model, which is to say, deciding for the first time that garbage had to be removed from the city, designating the place that it would be taken, saying that it had to go to one firm, saying that it was illegal for anybody else to scavenge the garbage that was on the streets, and then paying this firm an enormous price. All of that he invented in 1849 on a little island called South Brother, and they would take the garbage up there in barges and dump it on the shore and feed it to hundreds of hogs that were there and boil up the bones and so on.
Now, what about the river, the East River and the Hudson River? What are some of the things that were just dumped into the river?
Well, everything was dumped into the river at the start of the city, just as it was in most cities around the world. The East River was the first problem because it's a relatively narrow river. The channel, the currents are pretty rapid as it is, and it was the most important river for commerce. That's where the South Street Seaport was, where these sailing vessels would tie up, and it was really messing up the maritime economy. So the first laws against waste disposal were to protect the East River.
You describe how bloody entrails, I guess, from butchers and meat packing plants were dumped into the river, and it got so bad it impeded navigation. That sounds pretty ugly.
Yes, that's exactly what was going on in the East River, and that's why it was outlawed from the 1850s on. But Inspector White in 1849 had the notion to forbid this stuff from being disposed of in the city. Until then, people had boiled it up. They're called bone boilers nuisances, and there were vats all over the city and manure piles and so on where people sort of cooked it up and fed it to hogs and dealt with it right there. It was White in 1849. He said, "We cannot have this going on in the city. I'll take care of it." And that's when we started dumping it in. He was hauling it away in barges, but he was being paid so much that it became he was sort of lost interest in hauling all of it away to South Brother Island and later Barren Island. So at that point, he encouraged people just to throw it into the river. So he was really making the problem that he was trying to solve worse.
What do you think some of the historically smelliest parts of New York City were?
Well, South Brother Island was smelly for the couple of years that it lasted, but that operation was sent down to Barren Island, a little island around the corner from Coney Island at the mouth of Jamaica Bay. That's where Inspector White took his company after they were thrown off South Brother Island. And that island was the main repository for the city's trash from 1852 until 1916. That was an amazing place. Hundreds of people lived there. Thousands of hogs lived there. There were all sorts of factories in which this stuff was taken and cooked up after humans had sorted through it to take out, as I said, anything saleable. And these smells created problems for the neighbors for decades.
So on Barren Island, the people who worked with dealing with the trash actually had to live on the island with the trash?
Absolutely, and they lived there for generations. There were literally generations born and died on the island, and those people very rarely got off the island. Many of them came straight from Ellis Island to Barren Island, the way these urban ethnic opportunity niches often work. And Barren Island was an amazing place because it had Slavs and Italians right off the boat from Ellis Island and African Americans. It must have been one of the most mixed populations around.
I know when I was a kid and driving, say, from Brooklyn to Queens through the Belt Parkway and other parkways, there were periods, there were parts of the ride where you'd pass landfills and it would just stink. And there'd be, like, seagulls flying overhead. And I used to think that seagulls were birds that ate trash. I had no idea they were even connected to the sea. I thought these were the birds that liked trash because there would always be seagulls by the landfill near the ocean.
That's absolutely right. The Belt Parkway is extended past some magnificent large landfills that Robert Moses created, and he, in fact, landfilled almost everything along the Belt Parkway.
So what kind of vermin did these landfills attract?
Well, seagulls certainly are landfill birds. I have a friend who's friends who are naturalists, and they made a film about Roger Torrey Peterson, and they reenacted a trip that he had taken to Maine in the 20s to see a seagull colony. He thought it might be the last colony in the eastern seaboard and thought they might be becoming almost extinct. They certainly bounced back thanks to Freshkills.
Freshkills is a huge landfill. Are landfills still commonly used in New York, or is that more or less going out of style?
Well, from now on, they're illegal in New York City. The Freshkills landfill must close, according to state law, on the last day of 2001. Landfills nationally, however, are increasingly used as a waste disposal method.
Now, you mentioned this Freshkills landfill. There's, what, 13,000 tons of raw garbage deposited every day in this landfill, which is located in Staten Island?
Well, yes, that is to say, it's no longer 13,000 tons a day because the city is gradually weaning itself off. So I think something only like 3,000 tons is going there right now. But until the last couple of years when the Giuliani administration started to turn off the spigot, it was 13,000 tons a day. In fact, before then, it had been much more in the 20,000s.
What are the incentives for another city to take New York City's trash?
Well, the proposal right now, it hasn't been adopted, and it hasn't been finally approved by the state of New Jersey, is to build a massive transfer station in Linden, New Jersey, which is literally an infield fly away from Freshkills across this little creek called the Arthur Kill that separates Staten Island from New Jersey. If that plan, has been approved by the city, if it's approved on the New Jersey side, that will probably become the largest waste transfer station in the world. Garbage will be taken from barges delivered from New York, put onto rail cars, and hauled somewhere, who knows where. The city of Linden, in return for that, will get a significant amount of money. The estimates range between a couple of million and $5 million a year as a host fee.
How did you get into the sanitation business in the first place?
Probably a strange route. I started as a graduate student in urban ecological anthropology. I was interested in the planning process and what that revealed about class relations and power structures in our society. And I was interested in finding, for a dissertation topic, an infrastructural planning process that I could really observe from the inside. And instead of going off to Samoa or someplace like that to do my field work, I took a job in the sanitation department.
How was trash dealt with when you were a kid? What are some of the things you remember about trash from your childhood that's really different from how it's dealt with now?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest where there were town dumps, and you could take your stuff out there and throw the stuff away and see rats and so on. You really disposed of it yourself, quite different from our experience where very few people have ever been to Freshkills out in Staten Island.
Have you been there?
Oh, sure.
Describe what it's like. This is the dump where there used to be 13,000 tons a day of trash.
Right. It's a 3,000-acre landfill, the largest landfill in the world in terms of size, in terms of the amount of garbage that's there. And it's the sixth biggest landfill in the country in terms of its remaining space. It looks like mountains. The tallest peak is about 170 feet high, which, of course, is a fraction of what it was originally planned to be. The peaks were planned about 10 years ago to be as high as 500 feet, which would have made them as high as Mount Cadillac, practically, or certainly the highest point south of Mount Cadillac. The smell varies a bit, but it's not, I think it's been largely exaggerated. Of course, I'm not a Staten Islander. I haven't lived around it year-round. And of course, it depends on which way the wind is blowing. So, and there are lots of smells out in that part of the world, partly because of things blowing across the river from New Jersey. There are lots of chemical plants and so on. So all of the smells can't be blamed on the landfill. It's covered every day, the garbage that is dumped there, with clean dirt. Because it's such a large landfill, houses are not as close as they might otherwise be to it. The parts of the landfill that are closed are covered. They look like mountains. They look like unnatural mountains. You would immediately spot them as you spot any landfill of that size, of any size across the country. They're planted with wild grasses and small trees and so on. So they look like hills with grass blowing on them.
When you're filling in land with garbage and then building on that land, what do you have to do to the garbage to make it solid enough that you could actually build on it?
You can't really build on it. In the past, a lot of Manhattan and the other boroughs is made out of garbage, but that garbage is very different from the stuff we've been generating for the last half century. In the old days, a great proportion of what was called garbage came in dustbins or ash bins. It was coal ash. We didn't have oil, so everything was coal, and that was a big part of the garbage. There's also street sweepings. Manure was on the street because we didn't have cars, and that stuff was, you know, straight organic. So you mix that stuff with ashes, and you can put it down, and you can build on that sort of thing after a few years, which is exactly what was done around the turn of the century. From the 30s on, we have not been able to build successfully on garbage. LaGuardia Airport is made out of garbage, and it settles to this day. It has produced major problems over the years with buildings cracking, with runways cracking, with rats thriving so much that planes had to come back for emergency landings because rats were running down the aisles. You cannot build on garbage.
So if you can't build on modern garbage, what happens to the Freshkills landfill in Staten Island?
No one is ever going to, or in the foreseeable future, no one will be building any buildings on Freshkills. Of course, you could sink piles hundreds of feet down if you wanted to, but that's not realistic. Freshkills will be something that you can walk on someday, perhaps 30 years from now when it's all safely closed. We're just not able to build on landfill. In Tokyo Bay, the Japanese built a landfill of garbage that they're very proud of. I walked on it. They've made a golf course out of it. It's the only golf course in the world that doesn't allow smoking to prevent inadvertent holes in one. The methane coming up from it make it unusable for a smoking golf course, much less building something on.
You know, you've written this book on a history of trash in New York. What would you like us to be thinking about regarding trash and the place of trash in our lives and what we do with our trash?
Well, I would like people in New York to give some thought to where their trash is going. Just because there will be no more landfilling or incineration in New York City doesn't mean that our environment will necessarily be better from a global perspective, because the stuff is just going to be landfilled or perhaps incinerated somewhere else. And I'd like us to be a little more conscious about how that stuff is being handled and try to take some more responsibility for it.
Do you worry about there coming a time eventually when there'll be no place left to put the trash?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Certainly, we have a lot of land in this country if that's the way we care to fill it up. I just think that is going to be very expensive for us, certainly expensive from an environmental perspective one day. But for the city of New York, I think what we have just started to do is going to be very expensive as time goes on, because of the way the solid waste management industry is structured, the fact that the city no longer has any control. I think this is a decision that we will regret very much a generation or two from now, when we're paying a great deal just to get rid of our garbage.
Now that you've written your history of trash in New York, do you see parts of the city differently? Are there things you notice that you wouldn't have noticed before?
Well, I suppose what strikes me most is as I walk over places that I know are landfills or were landfills. For instance, what's called the municipal section downtown, where all of the courthouses are, is on top of and right next to a huge pond that used to be called the Collect Pond, which has all been filled in. So I have a sense of where streams used to be. I have a sense of shorelines that were not there. Everything in Manhattan, lower Manhattan, that is west of 10th Avenue, for example, is landfill. I have a sense of who put the stuff there and when, for what purpose. So I suppose that's the greatest sense I have as I'm exploring parts of New York to know that they weren't really there before.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Benjamin Miller is the author of the new book, Fat of the Land, Garbage of New York, The Last 200 Years. Coming up, jazz critic Kevin Whitehead reviews Chico O'Farrell's new CD. This is Fresh Air.